time now for In Case You Missed It, a look back at the topics of the day. Here's Lauren Brooks.
Florida put on a defensive clinic last night, and as for pitching, Frank, you wouldn't have put Jackson Coar on the mound last night just in case it went to Game 3, but you're glad Kevin O'Sullivan was right and the Gators won their first baseball title in school history.
Yeah, word on the street is even if Sully did leave South Carolina, wherever, they're not calling me, okay? It's just the because I mean, he really knew what he was doing, man. He knew he pushed all the right buttons, Brent. He knew the move was go try and win it right then and there because they probably weren't winning it if they didn't win then. Coar was fresh and ready and hit 98 a few times, by the way. Kevin O'Sullivan did all the right things. He's really a good coach. He is, I'll bet you, he's roundly considered the best coach in America right now. And frankly, he's one of the best coaches Florida's had. I mean, this is a school that's had Urban Meyer, Steve Spurrier, Billy Donovan. And he's right there in that conversation. Rhonda Fain, you know, they've had these great, great coaches. He's right there, man. He really is.
Here's what I got to thinking last night. He is so good with those pitchers and what he has now accomplished. Does it make any sense? Would it ever come about that he gets a chance in professional baseball to work with pitchers, eventually lead up to maybe being a manager someday, all that kind of stuff? And I don't even know if it financially makes any sense. You know, he's making $1 million, but...
You know what's funny?
Crossed my mind last night.
Yeah, college guys don't do that very often. You know one guy that did is Pat Murphy. Pat Murphy was the longtime coach at Arizona State and at Notre Dame. I forget which one he was at first, but he was at both Arizona, probably Notre Dame, then Arizona
State.
Then Arizona State. He's now the bench coach with the Brewers and hopes to one day be a manager. He's Craig Counsell's bench coach. And so he's one of the few guys that'll do it in both, but there aren't very many guys that do that. He's one of the few, so... Nah, I think Sully's probably a lifer in college.
Yeah, I do too. But how can he not come at least inquire? I mean, what he's done with those arms is fantastic.
Yeah, but to make $1 million, but he'd have to be a manager in the pro.
And that's the thing. The step wouldn't be manager, right?
Right. And you'd have to make that. You have to be a manager to make the money.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and again, as you look towards next year, what he's got coming back, they only had two seniors. I mean, Ryan Larson and Frank Rubio, a guy who only threw 30 and a third innings this year. So obviously, you're going to lose Fajardo. And probably Rivera, Guthrie, and maybe the catcher that went in the seventh round. But you look at what they return, and Frank, you hinted at it. You know they're bringing in another great crop of freshmen, and you know there's probably talented guys on this roster that just didn't really play much but could certainly make a huge jump next year. It'd be interesting to see if the Gators can go back-to-back.
The fact that Florida has a title before Florida State made you wonder, Brent, if Kevin O'Sullivan's success has put extra pressure on Mike Martin.
Yeah, and I think it has, and it will. I thought Mike Martin's always going to be a conversation this time of year. I was wondering if it's starting to creep closer to the Bobby Bowden talk near the end as they scuffled a bit through the mid part of this season. Well, then he rescued it. They get to Omaha, and you're like, wow, actually, this isn't even close to what that was. I mean, he's back in Omaha with a chance. But I think now that Florida wins and O'Sullivan gets it done, he's been 6 out of 8 years, they are now the dominant program in the state. Not even just the best program, it feels dominant. I think it will naturally cause some conversations. I don't think it will lead to anything in the immediate future, but I think the conversations will happen.
Yeah, Florida State shouldn't panic. I mean, they should focus on, we got to Omaha, Florida got some breaks, and it stings. I mean, they can tell you it doesn't sting. But they take so much pride in their baseball program, and to see a rival who really doesn't take, you know, Brent, you hit it at, doesn't have the passion for the sport that they do, to see them get to that achievement first, it's got to sting. But I think Florida State would be making a rash decision to go ahead and fire Martin. I mean, he got to Omaha, see how it goes next year. If he doesn't make the NCAA tournament for a year or two, then yeah, it's time to move on. But until you see some sort of sharp decline, let him keep going, because who knows, maybe this time next year we're talking about the Seminoles winning the national title.
Yeah, it's hard to get to Omaha. It's hard. I mean, it's hard to get, I don't care, it's hard to get to Omaha.
Some of these guys make it look easy.
Yeah, I know, but it's hard to get to Omaha, and he got
there. I did read one funny tweet yesterday. Tim Tebow starts playing baseball, and Florida finally wins the national championship in baseball.
He just got a base hit down St. Louis.
It all comes together.
He sure did. I thought that was pretty funny. An ESPN writer pleaded to Tiger Woods to never play golf again. Hayes, you're fine with him missing cuts because you believe he still has the ability to be competitive again.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that he's ever coming back. I mean, I think it's just as likely that, you know, this fall continues. I mean, Tiger is seeking help, and that's great. And hopefully he has the epiphany he needs to sort of get his life back on track and then eventually get back on the golf course. But yeah, I don't think he'll ever return and be putting up 83s consistently. I think he's not going to come back until he feels like he can go out and contend in tournaments. And that doesn't mean that every week he's going to make the cut. I mean, we saw it at the U.S. Open. The biggest names in the field missed the cut. Dustin Johnson, Day, Rory. I mean, golf humbles players. So just because he gets back out there and misses some cuts, I don't think that's a disaster. But I hope he gets out there and tries, because I do think we'll have that one weekend where Tiger Woods makes a run out of nowhere at a major, and it will be the greatest story of that year.
Oh, it will be magical if that happens. But I will say this. I think there's no doubt he'll play golf again competitively. He's going to get too many exemptions and all. He'll play in the Open. He'll play in the Masters. He'll play in other places. This guy's name, will he play consistently? And I'm actually kind of with him in the immediate future. I'm okay with not seeing him for a bit. I'm finally coming off this stuff. I mean, I'm getting in a happy place with no Tiger.
Guys, it didn't take every long. Weekend. 10, 12 years later.
I mean, so I don't need that tease right away. So I think if we wait a little bit, it's okay. And I think the more distance we separate from 2008 and previous Tiger, the better for him that we don't sit there and expect that to happen. He gets 44 years old, 45 years old, hasn't even played in a couple years. The expectations are going to drop naturally.
I think if he doesn't play for a while and comes back as an old guy, just playing to have fun, then I think he'll be appreciated far more. I know he's trying to come back. I don't feel as passionately as this writer did, but I get what he's saying. It's painful to watch him. It's painful to watch him. And as painful as it is for him, it's got to be it's painful to watch him as well.
Phil Jackson is out as the Knicks general manager. And, Frank, you asked if it's better to have a GM who was not a former player.
Yeah, we went back and forth. I like the fact that the former players can look through the coaches and the players' eyes that I think of just a business-minded guy can't necessarily do. I mean, even Dave Caldwell was a football player.
Mm-hmm.
He was a college football player. He understands the whole thing. It's not like he's a business guy that never played the sport. I think it's hard for these guys. Now, some of them are very good. Theo Epstein, I'm not sure, ever hit a baseball. So some of them are very good. But I think being able to see through the eyes of that coach and player matter.
Yeah, I think it's better if they don't. I mean, I think Theo Epstein may hit a baseball, but he was never touching a professional baseball. And I think that helps. I think the distance you create there and let the kind of the player and coach live in that world, that emotional world, that day-to-day world. And Hayes said it right. When your GM can think 2 weeks and 2 months and 2 years down the road and keep this level of sanity in the building, because that is his job sometimes, especially in such an emotional professional sports, I think it's better when that guy hadn't done it before.
It's interesting in the NFL because we're seeing the success John Elway's had, and it's sort of reversing. You know, like we had Matt Millen, who was such a disaster for Detroit, and Elway has sort of started to turn the tide a little bit, maybe with how, you know, players are viewed and can they, you know, really command these front office jobs. John Lynch will be fascinating to see what he does in San Francisco. I think it's going to be a disaster, but I could be wrong. And if he has success there with what he's facing, then I think it'll become more popular in the NFL. And the second Peyton Manning wants one of these jobs, he's going to get it.
Who would make the best GM out of the four of us, do y'all think?
I'd be the worst. I just ask a Gator fan. I wasn't bringing in Kowar, okay? So I'm last. I don't mean to burst, but I'll be last.
I'm
okay?
Incredibly emotional. Hey, put me
I'm
in
gonna
the
go
bottom.
With I'm gonna hey, go with Lauren.
Yeah.
Why me?
I don't know.
I'll
that's,
take it.
You know, it's an interesting topic because right. I've actually thought about this sometime at the age now, or right. the kids are at the age where you start thinking, what would the kids do someday?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I haven't asked them, like, what do you think your teammates will be someday? Right. Or, like, when will we see, like, a woman GM? Have we?
I don't think
so. Am I missing
no.
one?
I don't know.
I think we're seeing front office, right? And we're getting
we
there.
We've seen owners.
And we've started to see a few coaches.
But I don't think we're that far off.
I don't
seeing a woman right. GM.
I would think we would see a
Kaylee,
female GM before
Brooke Martineau.
There you go.
Before we
running
see a
the Jags.
Coach.
Okay. Does Dave Caldwell know you're coming for his job?
Sorry,
okay.
Dave.
Dave, I like you. You're my guy. Except when Kaylee's ready.
Then
you gotta go. Okay.
The Cubs are hanging around 500, but Brent, you think they just took a while to get over the World Series win, and they're still in the mix?
Listen, they're still celebrating. They're still celebrating that win. I mean, give them till the All-Star break to finish celebrating that win. Okay. I just think they're so talented. I'm not putting the nail in them yet. I would not be surprised if they are a late July, August, September team that ends up making noise all the way to the World Series. I wouldn't be shocked. It does not look that way right now, but I'm not eliminating that.
Yeah, they're still the best team in a bad division, so they're probably going to win that. I just think they're more flawed, Hayes, than people realize. I think that's a flawed team. I'd like Joe Maddon's very good. I'd like to see him a little more conventional.
They haven't had a ton of injuries, right? So I mean, it's not like they've got anything. So that sort of tells me that they can snap out of it. And I think part of it too is no one's really running away from them in that division. So I almost wonder if it's harder for them to sort of snap out of it because there's not that motivation. You don't see like the Brewers or the Cardinals jumping out to like a 6.5 game lead.
No urgency.
Like, all right, we got to get going now. I mean, they're only a game back. So, I mean, I think the Cubs will be fine, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're back in the World Series.
The one thing that would concern you, though, is Arrieta. He's completely different than he was last year, and obviously pitching was a huge part of what got them to the World Series.
You're right, and it probably started getting away from him August last year. You remember his last tour? He wasn't the same guy at the end of last year that he – I mean, up until August of last year, for a year or two, he was – you couldn't even hit foul balls off the guy. So he started struggling a little bit down this, but you're right. He's not the dominant guy he once was.
Mercedes Lewis enters his 12th season as a Jaguar. Hayes, you think he fits the Tom Coughlin mold of a tight end, being able to do everything you'd need from that position?
Yeah. Now, having said that, I don't expect that he's going to have an increase really in receiving yards and maybe touchdowns this year. But I think even Julius Thomas leaving doesn't really help Mercedes when it comes to being a pass catcher. But I do think, his blocking is something Coughlin wants. He doesn't give away what they're doing when he's on the field. It is interesting just to see his longevity. If Mercedes starts every 15 games this year, actually, if he starts 11 games this year, he'll be second on that list in franchise history behind only Brad Meester. But anyway, so we are talking about somebody that has that longevity. But I still don't really get the sense that when his days are done here, particularly if this team doesn't really turn around on the field, I don't see there being a lot of fanfare for him once his Jaguars career is over.
I agree. I mean, I think he fits. We kind of threw names like Tyson Alualu out and named Brad Meester. And although that's good because they contribute and do some good things, it's not standout. People want to see standout in that position. They want to see touchdowns. They want to see long touchdowns. They don't want to hear us say once again that he was a good blocking tight end. And I think from that standpoint, he'll be in many respects considered not a bust, but never up to his capability. And there might be truth to that. I mean, the guy's got an unbelievable physical skill set for this sport.
Right.
And just doesn't seem like he's always maximized it.
Yeah, and that's why we brought up the topic. The reason I don't think he'll be a bust is because he played a position where you can do something else and still be productive. Mm-hmm. If he's a wide receiver, he would have been a bust. But because you can be a good blocking tight end on a team that ran the ball a lot during his tenure here, I think you can kind of be I don't think he was a bust. He just never became a superstar player.
All right, boys, that's a wrap.